This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Embody, Learning to Love Your Unique Body and Quiet That Critical Voice by Connie Subcheck. Foreword by Elizabeth Scott, LCSW. Narrated by Vanessa Daniels. Foreword. One stormy November day, Connie Subcheck and I led a body-positive leadership training with 50 high school students, counselors, and teachers. One by one, the participants stood up to speak out loud about what makes them beautiful. Through tears, they talked about the pain of feeling ugly, invisible, of being insulted by the confusing and hurtful messages they had received throughout their lives. But bravely, each person took a risk to challenge these messages and to choose instead to inhabit and declare their own beauty. A girl spoke about the beauty she inherited from her Mexican grandmother that was expressed in her resilience and her wide, strong back. Before reading a poem he had written, a teacher shared his realization that, as a man, he had never been asked to think about his beauty and how difficult it was to use the word to describe himself. A counselor passed around photos of her two beloved children as she talked about the love and gratitude she feels for her belly, with its fat and stretch marks imprinted by the miracle of the beings who had emerged from within. Deep pain and great power exist side by side in our associations with our bodies and our beauty. Do you think about your relationship with your physical form? Are you aware that it is a connection that can be positively transformed? The book you're listening to offers you the opportunity to move first into the struggles you may experience in relationship to your beauty, health, and identity, and then out the other side to the joy and confidence that comes from accepting what you cannot change and celebrating who you truly are. Your body is the seat of your intuition. It is the avenue through which you connect to your gut instincts, to what you know. Intuition is the most reliable authority to guide the choices you make. Your body talks to you in sensations, feelings of tension, fear, hunger, pleasure, aliveness, and pain are just some of the ways it attempts to communicate with you. This is why staying connected to your physical self, with as little conflict as possible, is fundamental to health and well-being. If you spend copious amounts of energy attempting to diminish your body, or if your imagination is limited such that you cannot see beauty in yourself, then you become disconnected from the world around you. You lose perspective and purpose. Building a loving relationship with your body lets you disengage from these struggles and expand your vision. You can then uncover a genuine confidence and pursue the unique role you play in transforming the world into something that is whole and beautiful. Embody, Learning to Love Your Unique Body and Quiet That Critical Voice, is an invitation to you to join the vibrant community of the body positive. In listening to this book and working with the practices, you have an opportunity to connect to wonderful, natural resources available within you, such as self-love, intuition, strength, and receptiveness. You can become free of any shame you feel about your appearance, shame that isolates and paralyzes so many people with eating and body image problems. With this freedom, you transform your relationship with your body to one of trust and compassion. You may further decide you want to speak openly about your suffering, thus breaking the isolation of others who are locked in the downward spiral of body hatred. In doing so, you become part of a movement for positive change in the world. For 17 years, I have worked alongside the author of this book, Connie Subcheck. Together, we have helped thousands of individuals heal their relationships with their bodies, food, and exercise, and built body-positive communities nationwide through workshops, leadership trainings, and distribution of our creative educational materials. Connie brings a patient, compassionate, and loving soul to this work. She carries the wisdom that comes from suffering loss and choosing to seek out purpose and love instead of despair. Connie's intimate and powerful story is woven throughout, to inspire you to reach for the same fierce commitment to kindness for your body that she models. The intense caring she feels for others is genuine. Her spontaneous humor and vibrant aliveness fill the world with joy and laughter. You can depend on Connie. Take your time while you hear her words. Explore the practices to uncover your own insights. Utilize the information in this book that speaks to you and overlook the rest. Listen to your body. It knows what is best for you. Warmly, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Scott, LCSW, co-founder The Body Positive. Embody, verb. Provide a spirit with a physical form. Introduction. Doubt yourself, and you doubt everything you see. Judge yourself, and you see judges everywhere. But if you listen to the sound of your own voice, you can rise above doubt and judgment, and you can see forever. Nancy Lopez. Imagine living in a world where people possess genuine self-love and are free to experience their own authentic beauty. A world where a compassionate, forgiving voice is consistently brought forth to counteract self-criticism. Where having an appetite for life is both honored and valued. This is the world of the body positive. It is more than the name of a nonprofit organization. It is a state of mind and a growing cultural movement that offers people the opportunity to put down the burdens of judgment, comparison, and shame in order to cultivate a relationship with themselves that is built on a foundation of self-love and trust. When we become embodied, choosing to live consciously in our bodies and thereby giving our spirits a physical home, we can experience love for our flawed human selves. This love gives us access to our brilliant intuitive wisdom, which can guide the decisions we make each day. It is through self-love and deep listening that we are able to unleash the natural creative energy we all possess, a life force that can be used to make the world a better place to live in the biggest and smallest of ways. The individuals who inhabit the expanding body positive community use their time, energy, and brain power to make positive changes in their own lives and to support the healing of others. Vital resources once devoted to perfecting their physical image and feeding self-hatred. The passion behind the purpose. A primary motivator for creating the body positive was my desire to help people avoid the same painful road I took that led to a 6-year eating disorder. The seeds of my suffering were planted at the age of 13 when my sister Stephanie and most of my friends began dieting because they thought something was wrong with their bodies. Being younger than Stephanie and all of my peers, and possessing a strong desire to fit in, I was easily influenced by the actions of others. 2 years later, I followed through on a suggestion from a friend to purge the food I had just eaten. Though there was no name for it in the mid-1970s, many people I knew were engaging in bulimia. By the time I was 19, the eating disorder had taken over my life. The struggles I experienced prompted my leave from the University of California at Berkeley and destroyed my long-standing dream of becoming a computer engineer. Over the next 2 years, I returned to the university twice, each time with a new major. My eating disorder fooled me into believing my course of study was the problem during both of these attempts to resume my education. Again and again, I dropped out of school until I finally realized something was wrong with me, not my intellectual pursuits, and took time off to heal. By the age of 22, bulimia was part of my past. I eventually enrolled in another college and graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology. I am grateful that true and complete recovery from my eating disorder was possible. I learned to nurture an inner strength that helped me realize my existence was precious and worth fighting for, but my life was changed forever. The suffering I experienced over my body radically shifted the course of my career and life purpose. That purpose became clear a decade later when Stephanie died at age 36 from the physical consequences of her obsession with thinness and ideal beauty. Stephanie's downward spiral began in her late teens when she escalated her dieting behaviors by joining Weight Watchers. She underwent the typical weight loss slash weight gain cycle experienced by most dieters, and not surprisingly, developed bulimia. Though Stephanie and I did not begin our eating disorders together, we soon discovered we were both practicing the same behaviors. We supported one another in our desire to lose weight, often engaging in the binge-slash-purge ritual together. Ironically, it was Stephanie who helped me heal. In 1982, she won a free trip for two to Hawaii and took me with her. I was standing at the edge of recovery, so I told her I would not go on the trip if she planned to practice bulimia. Each night, we ate different foods in moderation, especially those that had prompted binges for us in the past. Every morning, we stood in front of the hotel mirror in our bathing suits and offered a true reflection to one another. Though we couldn't see ourselves objectively, we could see each other. The words of support and love my sister gave me on that trip were exactly what I needed to complete my healing. Unfortunately, Stephanie came home and resumed her bulimia immediately. Stephanie's physical size wasn't her only preoccupation with her body. She believed that her nipples were deformed and made the decision to get them surgically fixed. The plastic surgeon suggested, and Stephanie agreed, that she also get implants since her breasts were going to be cut open anyway. The operation was done in the late 1970s, a time when the general public was unaware of the potentially harmful side effects of silicone implants. Unfortunately, the left implant hardened. The surgeon's solution was to soften it by using his and another doctor's hands to crush Stephanie's breast. Unknown to anyone for more than 10 years, silicone had oozed out of the implant and poisoned Stephanie's body. She developed lupus erythematosus, an autoimmune disease that caused her to experience extreme joint pain. Numerous doctors attempted to ease her suffering without success because they did not identify the lupus. She was on heavy pain medication throughout most of her 20s and into her 30s. All the while, Stephanie still had her eating disorder, which caused her to be perpetually undernourished. When a rheumatologist finally diagnosed the lupus, Stephanie's organs were already severely compromised. The steroids she took to combat her disease further damaged her health. The official cause of her death was electrolyte imbalance due to renal failure due to systemic lupus erythematosus, with malnutrition listed as an additional contributor. When people ask me what happened to my sister, I tell them she died because she was at war with her body. To me, this explanation is closest to the truth. My daughter Carmen was a year old when Stephanie died, an age at which she was wildly in love with her body. She was thrilled with her mastery of walking. She delighted in naming her body parts, especially her round belly and belly button. Eating food was a nurturing and playful experience for Carmen. Her intuitive self knew exactly what her physical needs were, and she demanded to have those needs met. Carmen was, as most toddlers are, free to take pleasure in all aspects of her body. Stephanie's death prompted me to question if it was possible to raise a child free from body hatred in a society so focused on image and physical perfection. Though long healed from my own problems with my body and self-image, I still worried that I would somehow cause Carmen to develop an eating disorder, or that societal messages would lure her into the traps that had caught me as a girl. It was then that I made the commitment to change the world for my daughter. Grandiose as that may sound, my fierce maternal instincts led me on an exploration of what that declaration truly meant. It took several years before my direction became clear. I envisioned using my creative skills and personal experience to produce videos about body image for teen audiences. This was at a time when conversations with teenagers regarding how they felt about their bodies were much less common than they are today. My goal was to provide them with the messages, delivered by their peers, that both self-love and a peaceful relationship with food and exercise were entirely possible. Shortly thereafter, I formed The Body Positive as a nonprofit organization and met Elizabeth Scott. The organization has become so much more than I ever envisioned, and a great deal of that has to do with our partnership. Elizabeth is passionate about her work because she believes that a healthy self-image is an essential aspect of a person's development. She credits her mother, Lynn, a feminist therapist, for communicating a positive message about women's bodies that allowed her to grow up with an abundance of self-love. Elizabeth's discovery of African dance as a teenager and her exploration of improvisational dance throughout her life sustain a great appreciation for her body and its capacity to express pleasure and vitality. As a therapist, Elizabeth's commitment to the body positive is fueled by her desire to provide a healing community that is lively and inspiring for her clients suffering with eating disorders. It is a community that offers freedom from suffocating societal messages that keep people in a perpetual struggle with their bodies. She has co-created within the body positive a culture of recovery and joy in which people find the courage to leave body hatred behind and turn their attention to fully inhabiting their lives. Although the world has not changed in many of the ways I'd hoped when I made my commitment to Carmen so many years ago, her world became unique from the moment the body positive was founded. She grew up free to love and respect her physical self, which meant she didn't experience the fear, and in many cases hatred, most girls have of their growing, changing bodies. I didn't do this work alone. Carmen was immersed in a community of body positive individuals from the time she was 4 years old. She had as her role models people diverse in every way imaginable. Her babysitters were our teen peer leaders. She spent hours, probably more than she cared to, standing by my side as I talked about my work to help people experience self-love and respect for their bodies. Carmen is now grown and gone from home, and I see that the foundation she constructed growing up with the body positive serves her well. She is keenly aware of her physical needs and meets them as best she can. She is inoculated against the powerful influence of harmful messages about beauty and health. And, to my extreme delight, she uses her intuitive wisdom to guide not only her choices about physical self-care, but other life decisions as well. My commitment to change the world for Carmen led to the creation of an organization where those who are ready to shift their beliefs about beauty, health, and identity in a positive direction are given the opportunity and resources to do so. I feel blessed to participate in the lives of so many courageous people who have chosen to defy status quo by making peace with their bodies and taking ownership of their lives. I am grateful that my suffering over my own body and the pain I experienced from the loss of my sister weren't in vain. It provided me with work I truly love and a way to make sense of what happened in my life. Names and voices. In listening to Embody, you'll hear the body positive name used in several different ways. The body positive is the name of our nonprofit organization. Be body positive is the name of the model we teach. And body positive is used as an adjective to describe the workshops and leadership trainings we conduct, the communities that are created by people who participate in our work, and the manner in which people choose to live in their bodies. For example, you'll hear about body positive leaders, body positive communities, and people who are body positive. As for the voices presented in Embody, I am the author and speak in the first person about my life. The ideas and teachings of the body positive, however, are both Elizabeth's and mine. So I use the plural pronouns we, our, and us to refer to the work she and I created together. We is also used in the universal sense as we human beings who possess physical bodies. I write this book from my perspective as a cisgender female, meaning I identify with the gender I was assigned at birth, which is female. I say this because my work has taught me the importance of stating out loud that my relationship with my body was formed because of my particular life circumstances and choices, and that I speak as the expert of my body only. I also write as a Caucasian, middle-aged, middle-class woman who grew up in one particular part of the world. I do not pretend to know the experiences of others or what is right for anyone other than myself. I do know, however, that providing a safe space for people to be witnessed, whether others share the same particular story or not, is healing for both storyteller and listener. About this book and how to use it. Stories matter. Many stories matter. Stories have been used to dispossess and to malign, but stories can also be used to empower and to humanize. Stories can break the dignity of a people, but stories can also repair that broken dignity. Chimamanda Adichie. Every one of us is living our own distinctive story. A body story, a heart story, a human story. Elizabeth and I are fortunate to spend time with a widely diverse group of people. Our work is informed by every precious soul who has honored us by sharing their unique experience. We have made a commitment to telling our own stories and offering space for others to do the same without fear of judgment, comparison, or criticism. It is in this type of environment that each one of us can find what we need to become embodied, to tell our own truth and step fully into and love our unique selves. I've woven my own story of healing throughout the book. I've also included excerpts of my poetry, as well as anecdotes gathered from my work, relationships with others, and raising Carmen. Elizabeth's voice also appears throughout the text, adding her perspective as both a therapist and an individual who practices in her own life what she teaches to others. Short stories from an array of people who have had transformative experiences with the body positive are incorporated as well. You may relate to some of these stories, or not. What really matters is your own story. My hope is that the personal narratives provided will encourage you to uncover what's true for you. Embody brings to life the five core competencies of the Be Body Positive model. In the welcome, you will find a brief overview of the model and how we use it. The next five chapters present the competencies and are designed to give instruction as well as motivation for positive change. What's Next offers options for expanding your relationship to the concepts presented in this book. At the end of each of the competencies, you will find body positive practices that provide practical ways to bring these concepts into your life. There is no right way to do them. They are offered to inspire you to think about what you need to enhance awareness and healing. Do the practices as they are presented, or change them to better suit your situation. As changes happen in your life, you can even revisit them to gather more information. I do the practices whenever I facilitate a group, gathering new knowledge that enlightens my ever-changing relationship with my body and life. I save my writing, which I read every so often to reflect on the growth that has occurred over time. Elizabeth and I do not promote a single end goal for success, because the outcome of this exploration is as unique as every person who takes the body positive journey. We offer ourselves as guides along your path to making peace with your body. It is your voyage to be taken at whatever pace is right for you. Honor your individual rhythm and needs. The idea of loving and trusting your body may be completely new to you, or you may require only a few tools to move closer to knowing self-love on a daily basis. We respect wherever you are in your process and suggest that you take from Embody that which speaks to you in the moment. Pick it up from time to time, or listen to the whole book. Use your intuition to know what you need from this book. Return to the book both as a reminder of your transformation and motivation for continued growth. Welcome to the Body Positive. I attribute a great part of the healing I have done to the Body Positive. I was fortunate to have Connie and Elizabeth and a beautiful community of self-loving, respectful individuals at my doorstep when I needed them. The beauty of the Be Body Positive model is that it's not just for women or people with a diagnosed eating disorder. It is for men, women, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and friends. It speaks to everyone with a body. Lily S., Body Positive Leader. Welcome to the Body Positive. In my 40-plus pain-filled years of trying to survive life in an imperfect body, I've never run across a message that gave me so much hope. There is no possibility of failure here. There are no rules to follow or tests to pass before I am allowed to love my body, flaws and all, and choose to take care of myself because it feels good. The Body Positive offers compassion, humor, and a new brand of personal responsibility that comes from a place of love rather than fear. Kelly J., Body Positive Workshop Participant. Embody, learning to love your unique body and quiet that critical voice, brings to life the work of the Body Positive, a nonprofit organization I co-created with Elizabeth Scott. I was introduced to Elizabeth in 1996 through mutual acquaintances who knew we were both interested in preventing eating disorders. Because she was a therapist specializing in this field, I asked her to facilitate a discussion with a group of teen girls for the promotional video I was producing to raise funds for my work. Three monumental events happened as a result. The first was that the girls who came together for our day of videotaping did not want to end the conversation. They wanted to be an integral part of whatever the Body Positive would become. The second was that the bond Elizabeth and I formed led to our official partnership. Soon after we were introduced, it became evident that combining our skills would give us the power to make the changes we wished to see in the world. Then, in January of 1998, we received a grant that provided 2 years of funding for the Body Positive's first youth leadership program to prevent eating disorders. Our work has since moved beyond this original focus, yet at the core of everything we have developed is the Be Body Positive model, which provides people of all ages, sizes, sexual orientations, genders, ethnicities, abilities, and socioeconomic levels with a whole person, non-shaming approach to the mystery and miracle of living in a human body. The Be Body Positive model is comprised of 5 core competencies. 1. Reclaim health. 2. Practice intuitive self-care. 3. Cultivate self-love. 4. Declare your own authentic beauty. 5. Build community. We call them core competencies because they are the fundamental skills we practice on a daily basis to live peacefully and healthfully in our bodies. When we become proficient, competent, at using these skills, we are able to care for ourselves in body, mind, and spirit from a place of self-love and appreciation. Through workshops, lectures, and leadership trainings, Elizabeth and I have worked intimately with thousands of people, primarily females, but an increasing number of males and transgender individuals, from young to old, and all ages in between. Our message has also reached millions of children, teens, and adults worldwide through the distribution of our peer-to-peer focused educational videos and curricula. We are delighted that it is now reaching you. The Body Positive's philosophy is truly universal because it honors every person's unique knowledge and experience. The messages are straightforward and free of gimmicks. Rather than dictating a prescriptive set of rules to follow, we guide people through patient, mindful inquiry to find what works uniquely in their own lives to bring about positive self-care changes and a peaceful relationship with their bodies. Becoming your own authority. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the beginning model obsolete. Buckminster Fuller. The Be Body Positive model teaches you to become the expert, the authority, of your own body by first recognizing and then trusting its innate wisdom. Sue Monk Kidd offers my favorite definition of the word authority in her book, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. To stand forth with power and dignity. Elizabeth and I believe this, We all have the right to live with dignity. We all possess the power to make good decisions about our unique bodies when we learn to listen closely to the information they provide in every moment. We understand that choosing this path is much easier with support, which is why we have dedicated our lives to helping people reconnect with their inborn ability to identify and pursue what they need in order to thrive. We do not offer a step-by-step plan to follow from point A, body dissatisfaction, dieting, obsession with weight and image, to point B, self-love, intuitive self-care, freedom from obsession. Our work does not resemble typical diet, health, fitness, or other self-improvement programs that instruct clients to follow certain steps to the letter in order to arrive at a promised definition of success, where if someone fails, it's considered their fault, not the failing of a set of strict rules that can be impossible to stick to over the long term, even when offered with the best of intentions. Our model is complete. 5 core competencies address all of the obstacles to healing that Elizabeth and I unearthed during decades of preventing and treating eating and body image problems. The following illustrates what the Be Body Positive model offers and what it does not. The Be Body Positive model. Tools for a lifetime of exploration versus a static goal-oriented view of life. A practical framework of self-inquiry versus a step-by-step program. A whole person health model versus a weight loss program. A definition of health that is based on balanced self-care and self-love versus an idealized external image of a healthy person. No double binds versus conflicting messages that leave people confused or frustrated. Attuned self-care versus rules about eating and exercise. A foundation of self-love and forgiveness versus shoulds and punishment. A celebration of diversity as beauty versus a limited definition of ideal beauty. The development of positive communities versus connecting with others through negative self-talk. Defining success. To exist is to change. To change is to mature. To mature is to go on creating oneself endlessly. Henry Bergson. Elizabeth and I have created a framework for true success because we define it not as a static, end goal of perfection, but as a way of living that gives you permission to love, care for, and take pleasure in your body throughout your lifespan. Struggles will inevitably occur, especially during times of transition or imbalance. Using the Be Body Positive model core competencies, however, allows you to find what you need to live with as much self-love and balanced self-care as possible. Experiences of conflict and suffering become opportunities to learn what is required to further your growth, so you can find greater contentment and peace. The ideas we offer are meant to evolve in conjunction with the changes that will happen throughout your life. What you discover will be unique to you and your individual circumstances. In her psychotherapy practice, Elizabeth has honed the model to address the biggest hurdles faced by people struggling with eating disorders when working to make peace with their bodies, eating, and exercise. This has helped to fine-tune and improve our model's core competencies by ensuring that they offer a solution to even the most difficult challenges her clients have brought to the recovery process. Even those individuals who start working with her after enduring years of eating disorders and acute self-loathing move towards healing quickly when they are introduced to these ideas. The Be Body Positive model offers a path to freedom wherever people may currently be along the spectrum, from slight dissatisfaction with their bodies, or garden variety body hatred, as one of our youth leaders named it, to active weight loss behaviors, to eating and exercise problems that require clinical help for recovery. We do not believe in a hierarchy of suffering. Everyone, no matter where they may be along the continuum, deserves support to improve their self-care. The work not only enhances physical self-care, but has also been shown to increase self-esteem and reduce anxiety and depression. The five competencies are basic tools we can use to contact our precious natural resources of trust, intuition, balance, and connection. They provide a structure free from judgment and blame that allows each of us, in our own individual way and time, to celebrate our physical bodies and rediscover the beauty and self-love that are our birthright. Jessica Diaz, the Body Positive Board Member. The Body Positive taught me that loving my body could transform my life. Nothing else has ever been so true. I can't control everything that happens to me. What I can control, however, is how I feel about myself. When life gets rough, I have the power to come back to a deep love for myself. I return to a trust that I have wisdom in my body, that I know what's right for me. I've tested out different ways of being with myself. I've learned that what works and what feels best is loving myself even through moments of struggle, even when it feels like I can't find any reason to keep going on. When life gets hard, I try to reach down deep for what it is that I know, and what I know is it feels so much better to love myself. I want to share this knowledge with the world, because imagine all that you could achieve if you really tried on the idea that you could, no matter what life threw at you and what you went through, come home to a love for yourself. Paying attention to the power of language. Fat. This is the simplest word to describe people who are larger than average. The F word is nothing to be afraid of. It holds no negative judgment unless we put one there. We say young and old, short and tall. Why can't we also say thin and fat? Marilyn Wan. Fat. So? At the Body Positive, we take great care to use respectful, empowering, and positive language when talking about weight. This is essential for reducing weight-based shame and honoring the genetic diversity of human shapes and sizes. We do not presume that a fat person is unhealthy, nor do we assume that a thin person is healthy or that an extremely thin person has an eating disorder. We find it useful to talk about natural or set point weight, the size each individual is genetically programmed to maintain within a certain range. We use the word fat without judgment to describe a fat person. We say fat with the same energy as we say other physical descriptors, such as thin, tall, short, brown-eyed, or curly-haired. We do not use the words overweight or obese unless we are describing how society views people in these terms. And then we use them in quotation marks, as you'll notice throughout this book. We cannot consider someone to be overweight by looking at them, because we don't know their genetically determined weight, or whether or not they are over that weight. We don't use the word obese because, in our opinion, it has become a word used to judge and shame people instead of simply to describe a size. We also do not use euphemistic words like big-boned or voluptuous, for they imply that we shouldn't say the word fat because it is considered a bad word. The Body Positive is part of the size pride movement that is reclaiming the word fat as a neutral descriptor of a person's body type. It is a movement comprised of people of all sizes who understand the harm caused by weight stigma and messages linking weight to health, beauty, and self-worth. Sometimes people who live in bodies that could be described as fat say they do not like the word, even those who regard themselves as size acceptance activists. The word fat has been used to harm them too many times, so they use different words. Others, whose bodies could be considered thin or skinny, express dislike of these types of words, having also been harassed about their size by being accused of having anorexia or bulimia. It is up to every person of any size to be sensitive to the power of language regarding weight and to choose defining words that are respectful of self and others. The easiest way to achieve this goal is to refrain from making assumptions about anyone's health or lifestyle based solely on appearance, and by relating to one another as whole beings, not body sizes. Using the Be Body Positive model in your own life. The Be Body Positive model works because it's not built on being satisfied with your body for just one day or even a week. It gives you the foundation to love and honor your body for the rest of your life. Kaylaine B., Body Positive Leader. The Be Body Positive model shifts the focus from attempting to fix what's wrong with your body to a practice of improving and maintaining self-care behaviors that are motivated by positive rather than punishing forces. The competencies are offered over the next 5 chapters in a particular order because they build upon one another. As you integrate them into your daily life, however, you will discover that each is part of a whole process and the order becomes irrelevant. You address whatever particular issue arises in the moment with your new skills. As you practice the competencies, you cultivate the art of forgiveness for making mistakes with food, exercise, and other life choices, and allow yourself to learn and grow from your daily experiences. Over time, you relax into the trial and error process of learning to eat and move and live intuitively. As your definition of beauty expands, you have the extraordinary opportunity to see beauty everywhere, starting with yourself. You may develop friendships with people who also choose to appreciate their own bodies and enter into, or stay in, relationships only with those who love and respect yours, just as it is in the moment. When the inevitable burdens that come with being human start to weigh you down, you have your body positive community for support, as well as the ability to employ humor and self-love to lighten the load when you are alone. Elizabeth, freedom from double binds. Double bind, noun. A situation in which a person is confronted with two irreconcilable demands, or a choice between two undesirable courses of action. Connie and I consciously created the Body Positive's messages to avoid causing double binds. A double bind happens when we are put into a conflict between two opposing pieces of information. For example, we are told being thin will make us happy. It may, however, be genetically impossible for some of us to lose weight and keep it off. So we end up unhappier than before we attempted weight loss. Or we are already thin, or get thin through restricting our food and/or over-exercising, but still have problems that make us unhappy. Another example of a double bind is being told that embracing a spiritual life will lead to weight loss. Finding spirituality is a wonderful achievement, but it won't necessarily lead to weight loss. Some people may lose weight when they pay attention to their spiritual needs. Some won't. It doesn't make a person any less spiritual if they don't drop a clothing size. An extremely harmful double bind is the message that we must lose weight to become healthy. Since we know that restrictive dieting can lead to weight regain and worsened health, especially if the pattern is repeated again and again, or an eating disorder develops, this message is seriously dangerous. If your natural body does not fit the societal ideal, you can get lost by endlessly trying to transform yourself into a shape or size that goes against your genetic inheritance. Nothing good comes of this dead-end pursuit, which more often than not leads to feelings of frustration and despair. If your goal is to lose enough weight so you'll be loved, or free from reproach or criticism, you'll get stuck in a double bind. The world is full of aggression. Even if you achieve a socially prescribed ideal weight and image, you are still faced with being a mere mortal and life's inevitable problems. The Be Body Positive model teaches people to expand their resources to become better equipped to face life's difficulties. We help them to first recognize, then step away from, the double-binding messages they receive from family, friends, and the world at large. I encourage you to notice the double binds embedded in the messages you read in books or hear from family, friends, medical professionals, media, etc. You may find some parts of what you are being told very useful. Other suggestions from the same source, however, might not make any sense to you because they contradict what has previously been conveyed. A good way to recognize when you're confronted with a double bind is to notice what signals your body gives you. I notice a sick feeling in my stomach, as if I can't digest the idea being presented. What do you notice? Over time, you will learn to recognize double binds and have the ability to take in only the information that feels right for your unique body and life. It takes practice and conscious awareness to experience life through a body positive lens. After time, however, you'll realize you've embodied the competencies because it feels natural to care for yourself from a place of kindness and trust. When you become attuned to your intuition, you begin to move towards experiences and people that feel healthy on an intrinsic level. As one leader said at a community dinner, "It's a process to take this all in, but once you do, it just becomes part of your everyday life. It's addictive." The addiction spoken of here is the commitment to self-love, the ability to see great beauty in oneself, as well as in others, and the pursuit of positive, joyful self-care. What could be better? Please remember, as with all things worth their weight, changing your relationship with your body can be messy and painful at times. It takes practice. But Elizabeth and I believe this journey is worth every ounce of energy you put into it. Getting to the place where you are free to live without restriction, where your fears and self-criticism lessen in intensity because your voice of kindness and compassion grows in strength each day, feels good. Communication becomes easier when you can express your true thoughts and feelings, because the practice of self-love protects you from taking in judgment, or helps you quickly release any negativity that does get under your skin. Beauty surrounds you in abundance, and life becomes a richer, more meaningful experience. Embodying the Be Body Positive model's core competencies is simple, and it's not. It's choosing love as often as we can. It's finding humor when we look at the imagery society offers up as beauty. It's listening closely to our bodies and doing our best to follow their wisdom. It's forgiving ourselves when we make mistakes. Ultimately, it's honoring our bodies in all their varied forms as precious and worthy of love and respect. Lisa E., Body Positive Workshop Participant. Competency 1. Reclaim Health. Goals. Uncover the messages that have influenced your relationships with your body, food, and exercise. Develop a weight-neutral, health-centered approach to self-care. Benefit. Become the authority of your own body by sorting out facts from distorted societal myths about health, weight, and identity. We need to restore some sensibility to the pursuit of health. Many of us increasingly view ourselves as fragile and vulnerable, ready to develop cancer, heart disease, or some other dreaded disease at the slightest provocation. In the name of health, we give up many of our enjoyments. The important point is that worrying too much about anything, be it calories, salt, cancer, or cholesterol, is bad for you, and that living optimistically with pleasure, zest, and commitment is good. Robert Ornstein, PhD, David Sobel, MD, Healthy Pleasures. Reclaim Health, the first competency of the Be Body Positive model, explores health from a weight-neutral, pleasure-focused position that is grounded in the study of human physiology. Extensive research supports the argument that measurements of physical activity and metabolic fitness, such as blood pressure, blood lipids, and blood sugar levels, are far better indicators of physical health than body size. This allows us to move away from moralistic, judgmental views of weight towards a whole person approach based on sound evidence that values a positive relationship with one's body and long-term, stable self-care behaviors as primary to physical well-being. Reclaiming your health is an opportunity to become the authority of your own body. This does not mean you rule over it and attempt to beat it into submission. Rather, you treat it with respect by listening to its wisdom, so you know what you need in order to thrive. You are empowered to act in accordance with this innate knowledge, even if it means living outside of society's expectations of what a healthy person looks like. You are the ultimate expert of your body. Obstacles to achieving balanced, sustainable self-care. Balanced, sustainable eating and exercise habits are fundamental to achieving the best possible health for our particular genetics and life circumstances, so we must be watchful for any obstacles that might get in the way. One such obstacle is the current societal belief system linking health to size. Most people think that to be healthy, one must be thin, or conversely, that thin people are in good physical shape simply because of their size. This association falsely implies that being fat is inherently harmful and sends the message to slender people that they don't have to think much about their self-care habits. We are bombarded with messages that support this view. How many times each day are you told, from one source or another, that fat is bad and thinness is what you should be thinking about, striving for, and pursuing with fervor at all times? The weight loss industry, or weight cycling industry, as psychologist and author Deb Burgard, PhD, calls it, generates about $60 billion in annual sales. Equating thinness with health is in the best financial interest of the companies involved. You've probably heard diets don't work, but it is hard to believe if all you see in the media is an emphasis on thinness and the glorification of anyone who accomplishes this goal. Apparently, we should all be able to lose weight and keep it off with willpower and self-discipline. That's what the company selling us their products and services want us to believe. Why, then, do most people on restrictive diets regain the pounds they lose, and often more? The answer lies in the physiology of the human body, which is genetically programmed to hold on to weight for evolutionary reasons having to do with survival. Those of our ancestors who both stored fat easily and slowed energy output were most protected during times of famine, when the cells of the body use as little energy as possible to maximize efficiency and conserve precious calories. This function is called the famine response. In effect, the body cannot recognize the difference between a diet and a famine. So when we go on a restrictive diet, our energy regulating systems slow down in order to conserve every bit of fuel that comes in. This physiological response, one that actively stores more food as fat in the body during times of undernourishment, is specifically designed to help us survive. Every calorie-restrictive diet triggers the famine response because the body senses a state of starvation. But when the diet ends and former eating habits resume, the body continues to conserve energy. It takes fewer calories to put the weight back on, and often more is added. In other words, the more we diet, the easier it is to gain weight. Furthermore, this cycling pattern, yo-yo dieting, makes it increasingly difficult to lose weight with every subsequent diet, given that cells are programmed to hold on to every calorie possible in order to successfully survive what seem like frequent famines. How do you define health? Health is a dynamic concept, informed and constructed by both society and science. As such, it is useful to pause and consider your personal definition. Ask yourself, how do I define health? What do I think a healthy person looks like? How did I develop these beliefs? You might find it helpful to jot down your answers to these questions and explore them as you listen to this chapter. The famine response. Being pleasantly plump is healthier than subjecting ourselves to the ups and downs of constant dieting. And while there is no question that what and how we eat is related to our health, dieting is not a healthy way to eat. Robert Ornstein, PhD, David Sobel, MD, Healthy Pleasures. Diet programs, a setup for failure. When I was dieting, food would talk to me, like those cookies on top of the refrigerator. They would sound out my name. Lisa T., the Body Positive Advisory Board member. I meet a lot of people who tell me they've been on a weight loss program their whole lives and believe it's been a useful way to help them control